meeting of the Tourism Infrastructure and Energy Subcommittee is called to order. Members.
Chair Drake.
Yes.
Vice Chair Lamarca.
Yes, ma'am.
Franken Democratic Member Schlossberg King.
Here.
Representatives. Brown. Buchanan.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Davis. Fine.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Toledo.
Here.
Trabulsi.
Here.
Williamson.
Here.
Yarbrough.
Here.
Well, Mr. President. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that quorum is present. All right. Well, folks, I just want to say this is my day one of session. I've missed you all. I had a bout with the COVID-19, and it didn't get me, but it worked on me for a week. But anyways, I'm pretty certain that I'm good to go now. So glad to be back with everyone. Let's take up House Bill 145 by Representative Haig. Representative from Sumter County, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman and members. The purpose of House Bill 145 is to facilitate the complete introduction of zero emissions, noise abating electric off-road vehicles to the Florida marketplace. To achieve that purpose, we need to revise the dry weight limit of these vehicles from 2,500 pounds to 3,500 pounds. This bill will simply make that revision and will accommodate full lines of electric off-road vehicles that perform like fossil fuel burning vehicles to be introduced into the Florida marketplace. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Questions for Representative from Sumter County. Questions? Representative from Port St. Joe, you recognize.
Thank you for this good bill. Just wanted to make sure the difference in weight is for the battery weight.
Assuming. Exactly. Oh. Yes, the lithium batteries.
Additional questions? Seeing none. Do we have any public testimony? We do. Steve Dials, representing Polaris. Waiving in support. Adam Bassford, Associated Industries of Florida. Waiving in support. I believe that's it. Is there any debate? No debate. You're welcome to close. Having waived close, Ms. Young, please call the roll.
Chair Drake.
Yes.
Vice Chair Lamarca.
Yes.
Franken Democratic Member Schlossberg King.
Yes.
Representatives. Brown. Buchanan.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Davis. Fine.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Toledo. Yes. Trabulsi.
Yes.
Williamson.
Yes.
Yarbrough.
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill passes. All right, I don't see Representative McCurdy here, so let's we'll move to some of the members that are on the committee. How about we do House Bill 489, Representative Cheney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I present from my seat here?
You're certainly welcome.
Thank you. Means
you're not a rookie. You can handle it.
Visit Florida, House Bill 489. This bill extends the sunset clause of Visit Florida. It is currently sunsetting at 2023. This extends that 5 years to 2028. In the past 3 years, Visit Florida has been reviewed and found to be transparent, accountable, and producing a positive ROI. The 2021 Florida Office of Economic and Demographic Research reported the ROI of Visit Florida in excess of 1 to 3. For every dollar invested, $3 returned. More small feeder businesses rely on Visit Florida than the larger brands, particularly in the aftermath of a pandemic or a hurricane. The actual budget amount is set annually by the legislature, and reporting is still required. So by extending this date, we've done nothing to lose control. What we gain is economies of scale. Visit Florida will be able to negotiate better deals with their vendors, media contracts, and rates with a longer horizon. And for that, I ask for your favorable support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, any questions for Representative from St. Pete Beach? Any questions? Seeing none, we do have a few people that would like to speak on this. Now, you don't have to speak if you don't have something absolutely pressing to say. You can waive in support, but if you're compelled to speak, we'll certainly provide that opportunity. So first we have Robert Agrusa representing CFHLA. Waiving in support. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. My name is Philip Suderman. I am the Policy Director with Americans for Prosperity, and I am here to talk today in opposition of HB 489. I'd also like to first start off and say I wanted to thank the representative for taking the time to hear our thoughts. None of this is new. It was very gracious of her to be able to talk about this. And I also know that we all share the idea that we want to make sure that Florida is a prosperous state with prosperous businesses and prosperous residents. Unfortunately, we just don't see this as a way forward and a way to achieve that end. Americans for HB 489, as mentioned, would eliminate the current sunset provision for the Florida Tourism Marketing and Corporation, otherwise known as Visit Florida, instead moving the deadline to 2028. Americans for Prosperity remains committed to standing up for taxpayers and against what we believe is corporate welfare. As such, one of our priorities is eliminating what we and our activists view as improper government spending, whether it be through subsidies, tax credits, or regulatory favoritism towards a specific industry. However well-intentioned some government assistance may be, the fact remains that the practice of states picking winners and losers benefits a favored few and leaves everyone else to pay the price. Too often, the winners are special interests who lobby for special favors, while those who bear the costs are everyday citizens and small businesses who have to pick up the tab. The role of the government should be to focus itself on the core functions that society needs to operate. Visit Florida is not one of those roles. The goal of government is even more important now as our nation and our state look to move forward from the economic effects of COVID-19. Florida is ready to move forward and create real opportunity. Prosperity comes when government gets out of the way and lets the individuals of Florida create new and innovative products that make all of our lives better. Americans for Prosperity Florida and our activists believe strongly in fiscal responsibility when it comes to taxpayer dollars. And it is for this reason that I ask for your opposition, your respectful opposition of HB 489. Thank you very much, Chair and Committee.
Thank you, sir. Next we have David Whitaker, Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. Waiving in support. Philip Suderman just spoke. Gina Evans, Tampa International Airport. Thank you, Ms. Evans. Carolyn Johnson, Florida Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Virginia Haley, Visit Sarasota. We're on a roll. Waiving in support. Deontay Gavin, Visit Tallahassee. Waiving in support. Thank you, sir. Matthew Forrest, Destinations Florida. Thank you, Mr. Forrest. Samantha Padgett, Florida Restaurant Lodging Association. Waiving in support. Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties. Waiving support. Spencer Pylant, Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce. Waiving in support. Adam Bassford, Associated Interest Florida. Waiving support. Timothy Parson, Florida Attraction Association. Waiving in support. Armando Ibarra, Greater Miami and the Beaches Hotel Association. Waiving support. Nicholas Muller. Mr. Mueller, good to see you. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, and the committee for allowing me to speak. My name is Nicholas Mueller. I'm here with Americans for Prosperity as well, in opposition to HB 489. This bill is corporate welfare, with the government picking winners and losers in business. I believe we need to get the government out of the way so that we can really move forward and prosper as people, as hardworking people. I just want to strongly show my opposition for this bill. Thank you again to the chair and to the committee for hearing me.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. Next, we have Denver Cook. Mr. Cook, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee. I stand in opposition to 49. I'm a small business owner in Ponte Vedra, Florida. I advertise my own business, and how I do in my advertising is on my shoulders. I don't get any support, and I don't expect it. How I treat my clients and the repeat business I get is based on the services I provide. And I'm in the home repair business, so if I don't fix your home right, I don't get word-of-mouth business. I don't get, you know. And I don't have anybody looking over me but me and my family. And I believe that we are a country built on opportunity, and that opportunity is both to succeed but also the opportunity to fail. I think subsidizing anyone in this way is not an appropriate use of my tax dollars when we have so many issues facing our nation today. So I stand in opposition to this because it does pick winners and losers, and not everybody is going to be benefited by this. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we have Mia Cook. Waving support, or waving opposition. Kelly Pickens.
Hello. Thank you, Chair and Committee, for allowing me to speak. I am Kelly Hazer Pickens. I am Ms. Universe, and I am also the owner of the Pink Cupcake Bakery in Atlantic Beach. As a business owner, I want to see others thriving and succeed, but why are my tax dollars going to other businesses that I might or might not support? That's not fair for those of us who work hard and strive to make our own businesses and take care of our own businesses on our own shoulders. For the government to pick and choose, it's unfair. This bill is corporate welfare, with the government picking winners and losers. The role of the government, in my opinion, should be to provide a fair playing field for everyone instead of giving taxpayers' dollars as handouts. If we really want to help Florida businesses, we should eliminate regulations and the red tape that we go through that create extra work and fees. Thank you again. I'm Kelly Pickens, and I oppose HB 489. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pickens. Juliana Christine Pickens, anything else to add? Wave in opposition. Leilani Ann Pickens.
I wave
in. Okay, thank you, Ms. Pickens. Maria Zarita. Wave in opposition. I apologize. This looks like hieroglyphics here. Edgar? What is your last name? Okay, yeah, that's why I couldn't do it. Sorry, thank you. But you did it rather well. Carlos Rodriguez. All right, waving in opposition. Anyone else? Anyone else that's here? Did not put you up? Hey, we've got plenty of time. Do we have your appearance card?
This one.
Okay, yeah, we'll make sure we have that. Thank you, bailiff. Okay, Ms. Ritter, you came here from Jacksonville. You certainly have an opportunity to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you so much. As a veteran who proudly served in the United States Army and a resident of Florida here today with Americans for Prosperity, I find the use of taxpayer dollars for HB 489 not a core function of Florida government. Why is Florida government picking winners and losers? This is an improper use of Florida taxpayer dollars. Florida government needs to allow its residents to create our future and our lives. I oppose HB 489. Thank you, Chair and Committee. Amy Ritter.
Thank you, Ms. Ritter. Members, debate. Anyone choosing to debate? Representative from West Palm Beach, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I don't speak that often, so this is very important to me. I'm from Palm Beach County, and the joke is that we have to pay people to advertise and call people to come to Palm Beach County. The weather is so great, we don't have to do that. No, that's wrong. We do have to spend tax, our own dollars in tourism. What people fail to understand, I think, is that Florida is a state that gets over 130 million visitors in 2019, and we actually did a pretty good job in 2017 when House Speaker Corcoran did amendments to how Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida were run. So the talking points that I hear in opposition today are very, very appropriate for about 5 years ago. Those things were taken care of by amending Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida. So these arguments were targeted mainly at Enterprise Florida because people on the board of Enterprise Florida were getting benefits. So they were picking winners and losers, but that's all been changed. We threatened to hold back the dollars. I think it was $60 million, if I remember correctly. $60 million for Visit Florida. We threatened to hold the money back, but we went through committee and made all those changes. Changes like, oh, if you're on Enterprise Florida, you can't get a benefit. You can't get dollars from Enterprise Florida if you're on the board of Enterprise Florida. So we totally agree with y'all's concerns, seriously. And I think this is a great example of trying to be more transparent and more accountable. As conservatives, that is our job. And I really appreciate y'all being here today, but I also appreciate Representative Cheney for bringing this good bill. Thank you.
Representative from Gulf County, do you have a debate? You don't have to, I just thought.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I didn't raise my hand, but I'm glad you called on me because I do have an opinion on this that I'd like to share. I've gone back and forth on this. I see both sides of the argument. I completely see both sides of this argument. But I do want to say, representing a lot of rural counties in North Florida, we do depend on help from Visit Florida. We don't have the budgets to be able to advertise, to draw people into our small communities. And so I am going to be supporting this bill today. I guess that's all I will say.
Yes, sir. You bought the painting as well. Representative from Fort Pierce.
Thank you, Chair. Glad you're feeling better, too.
Thank you. Me, too.
I'm going to share the same sentiments as Representative Roth and Representative Schoth, and I think that there's somewhat of a misunderstanding with the interpretation of this bill today. I certainly don't think it's seen as picking winners and losers, but we live in Florida. We know how wonderful Florida is. We're happy to be here. But I know that when I'm watching television and I see people skiing in Montana or taking the parasail ride in California, I want to go there. And that's because those dollars are being spent to advertise to us. And the majority of the dollars that we're spending to advertise Florida are outside Florida. And these dollars are bringing these people into our communities to help support the businesses that you are trying to run and help to keep our communities thriving. I know in St. Lucie County, we spend a lot of money in New York and the upper eastern states promoting baseball, Little League baseball, golf. The New York Mets are located, their spring training is in St. Lucie County. And we spend a lot of dollars for those tourism dollars, those heads and beds, to be in our community to help support our local restaurants, our local cupcake factories, our local businesses. So I think there's a misconception, and I appreciate you bringing this good bill to us. Thank you.
Additional debate. Seeing none, Vice Chairman from Broward County recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. And you had me there for a minute, Representative Trabolzi, until you brought up the Mets. You know, I spent six years on a city commission, a very small city that had very little business other than a marina and a few restaurants. But then I had the privilege of serving 8 years on the Broward County Commission, and ironically, it's Broward days, and I never voted for a single budget where we raised taxes on anybody. So unfortunately, I was only able to vote on one budget in 8 years as a county commissioner. So I don't vote for things that take money out of Floridians' pockets. I vote for things that put money into the state of Florida. And while I am very, very rarely on the other side of my friends from AFP, and I hope they still support my individual wine bottle bill, I will tell you that the only way you make money is to spend a little bit of money. And when we have things like the Orange Bowl and we have national championships in South Florida, it brings businesses to Fort Lauderdale Beach, even though they're played in Miami-Dade. It brings businesses to small T-shirt stores and small mom-and-pop restaurants. You know, I've seen it on both sides. Our own CVB director was not a believer in Visit Florida and I believe pulled the county out, and Ms. Young might be able to confirm that for me, but I think we're back in. And if you can make my CVB director, who's a former member of this House of Representatives, satisfied with something, I'm going to go with that. And listen, I'm behind this bill, but I understand the issues that are being brought up. But I agree with Representative Roth. I believe some of those are those points are misappropriated. I believe that if you look at the numbers, I think it's a dollar. Every dollar invested brings back $3.25. So with all due respect to my friends, if I get a 90 out of 100, that's fine. I'm going to go with this bill.
Representative from St. Pete Beach, you're recognized. No. Representative Fine, would you like to debate?
If you don't mind,
Mr. Yes, sir. Representative from unincorporated Brevard County, you're recognized.
Thank you. It is unincorporated. We don't like cities where I live. Look, I'm going to vote for the bill today, and I decided to speak on it because I think the way the people advocate for this bill and the way the people oppose the bill, I think, misses sight of the right way to think about this. So the people who support this oftentimes make ridiculous arguments. It's odd for me to say because I'm going to vote for the bill, but I'm saying this in part to the people who oppose it to give you something to think about when you leave the room today. They say we spend $80 million on Visit Florida, and the folks at Visit Florida say we get 130 million visitors. It's a ridiculous argument to make. It implies that if we didn't spend the $80 million, we wouldn't get the 130 million visitors. And I think we all know that that is not true. The vast majority of those 130 million people would come here anyway. Now, what I challenged Visit Florida to do a few years ago, and they've done it, and I hope you will share this at a future committee meeting because I think it's the best way to do the analysis. What percentage of the visitors of Florida, if they come, make the $80 million worth it? So some people say, well, 90% of them would have come anyway, okay? 99% would have come anyway. Well, it turns out I think when we did the analysis, and I don't remember it exactly, but I think it turns out that if less than 0.25% of the visitors to the state of Florida wouldn't have come anyway, if it's like 1 out of every 400 people who came to the state only came because we offered the program then pays for itself. That's the right way to think about a program like this. And I think that if you form your own view of what percentage of the people would come to Florida anyway, if your number is anything less than 99.75%, then you think this is a good return on investment. I understand the concerns that people have because most people would come anyway. But it turns out we have to get very, very few incremental visitors to this state for this program to pay for itself. And in my view, we probably are getting that extra 0.25%. Because we're doing it. And I challenge someone to prove to me that we don't. If they could, I wouldn't vote for the bill. So with that, I'll ask you to think about supporting Rep. Cheney's great bill.
Anyone else in debate? Representative from St. Pete Beach, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll make this very brief because I think all the members of the committee already made my close for me. I just wanted to thank everybody who came and took the time to come and express your opinions. It's very important to me. And I just wanted to touch on the comments about choosing winners and losers. And what I would say is that what the state of Florida by investing in promoting the state of Florida on the world stage against all the other states who are promoting on the world stage is we are choosing our businesses to be winners. This money does not go to these businesses. So we're not choosing winners and losers. We're choosing every business in the state of Florida as a winner. And in my community in St. Pete Beach, I would be willing to bet that at least half of our residents are small business owners. And they benefit from the handful of large brand hotels and entertainers that do their own advertising. And they depend on Visit Florida to talk about the state of Florida, to bring them to our state. And although they may go to some of these larger brands, they end up at the cupcake shop. I love that as an example. They if their car breaks down, they are at these smaller businesses, and that's because they are in the state of Florida to begin with. And they didn't choose Arkansas, and they didn't choose California, and they didn't choose all of the other commercials that they see out there. They chose Florida. And Visit Florida is very methodical and research-driven in where they run their ads, and they know where the consumers are that they're going to convince to come to the state of Florida. And by giving them an extended horizon, they're going to be able to do that more cost-effectively. If you are somebody who's engaging a vendor and they think you may only be a customer for a year, you're not going to get the same rate as somebody who's got a longer horizon to negotiate your rates. So we are committed to promoting Florida, and so let's do it in the most cost-effective way possible. And for that, I ask for your support.
Ms. Young, please call the roll.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slosberg-King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis? Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, we'll show the bill has passed. Thank you, Representative Cheney. Okay, next we'll have House Bill 369 by Representative McCurdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee. HB 369, Motor Vehicle Registration Certificate Cards. This bill gives drivers the option of purchasing a vehicle registration certificate card in addition to the required registration certificate. Currently, the registration certificate must be shown upon the request of any authorized law enforcement officer or agent of the DHSMV. The goal is to have a driver not reaching a glove box, making the situation uncomfortable in the presence of law enforcement. The vehicle registration card can be kept with your driver license, eliminating the reach in your glove box. Drivers will not have the option to request a card in addition to a paper certificate, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have an amendment. You want to present Amendment 1?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This amendment clarifies the definition of vehicle registration certificate card to include the approximate size of a driver license containing all information provided on a vehicle registration certificate.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment for the representative from Orlando? Seeing none, public testimony, seeing none, debate, having no debate, let's show that amendment adopted without objection. Okay, now that we're back on the bill, are there any questions on House Bill 369 for the representative from Orlando? Representative from Palm Beach County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I like the idea of having a registration in my wallet, so thank you. I understand also you're reaching in the glove box. I understand that, too. But just under the complete transparency, can you tell us where this bill came from? Who offered it? Was it law enforcement or other people? So where did the bill come from?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill actually a conversation with me and my Senate sponsor, Senator Gibson, on the Senate side. So that's where that was the idea for the bill came forward.
Questions?
Follow up. Yes, sir. Thank you. So, do you know where Senator Gibson got the bill?
Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
Do I know where she got the bill?
Yes.
I'm not sure where she got it, but I'm glad she got it. I'm glad she asked me to carry it in the House, Representative.
No further questions.
It's probably like me and can't ever find the blame thing. Thought it'd be a good idea to have one in your wallet, right?
I would agree, Mr. Chair. That sounds like a good idea to me.
All right, so any additional questions for Representative from Orlando on House Bill 369? Seeing the Representative from Sarasota.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McCurdy, help me understand the fee structure. So the applicant, I think, would pay $2.50 to be able to get the card that fits in your pocket, and I'm assuming that covers the cost for Florida Highway Safety Motor Vehicle to make it. Is that right?
Correct. Well, the card actually will be $2.50 if you request to have so. And I just want to make this clarification. It will be the size of your driver license, but it will be in the form of a voter registration card. So not the same material, so not as cost of, not as expensive to make as your driver license would be. So it's kind of the perforated material, so it's pretty cost effective for DHS&V.
Additional questions? You recognize.
Do you have an idea of how many Floridians might elect to pay the $2.50 in order to have the paper printout?
Mr. Chair? My guess would be a lot. I know I would be excited to do it, and especially since we see our society going to a more digital age, I think this is one of those steps to getting us closer to that goal.
I'll get one, so put us down for two for now. Any additional questions? Are you going to get one? Three? Four?
Right. I've got one more.
We're up to five. Guaranteed. We've already made, what, $10? Question, yeah. Representative from Palm Beach County, recognize.
I appreciate you bringing this bill, and the more you talk, the more I think. So I got another question for you. So are there any other states that are already doing this?
You're recognized.
Chair? That's a great question, Representative Roth. I don't have the information right now, but I'll get it to you before our next committee stop. Thanks.
Representative McFarland, did you have another question? Go ahead. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. McCurdy, I'm not sure if you know this, but in this committee, we've heard a lot about the Motorist Modernization Program, MOMO, and part of it is moving to digital driver's license. I'm wondering if this is almost a precursor and laying the groundwork at Highway Safety Motor Vehicles to go to a digital title and registration as well. Do you know anything about that?
Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative, for the question. I don't have any specific details, I'm sorry about that issue, but I think this is a great first step, like I mentioned earlier. Something else I'll mention is there have been cases of folks getting their cars broke into, right? People get your registration and have access to your pertinent information. So having the ability to not have to have it in your glove compartment and to have this on your person, wherever you keep your driver license or those other belongings, I think this is it works for both law enforcement and for the public at large.
But I like where you're going with that, Representative McFarland, because actually when we were going through all of the bills that we were going to hear today, when staff and I were talking about this, my immediate question was, well, why don't we just go to digital? Why don't we have this middle step? But I guess that while we're waiting on that technology to come to us and be able to pursue that, in the meantime, instead of having those big old long wide papers that are you can't ever find in your glove box or above your sun visor, why not have one and be able to put it in your pocket? And as long as the costs don't exceed the what it takes to produce it, voluntarily people will have that option. So I guess this is a good step into what you might be suggesting and what I would agree with you on. So we appreciate you bridging the gap here and kind of moving us into a forward direction, because I think it would be a good idea to go ahead and start planning, and maybe we need to have these conversations with the agency, but go ahead and start making preparations to move away from the papers and then even the wallet version and get into the digital fashion would be I think it'd be a win-win. Kind of follows everything else we're doing. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Chair. I've seen your truck. See why it might be hard to find that registration. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. Representative, I'm glad that Representative McFarland brought that up because I had the privilege of carrying in House Bill 1313 last year, which was digital driver's license. Would you, the question to you is this, would you work with DHSMV to see if they'll consider making this, ultimately it's going to be an app or some type of, you know, as this is coming out, I think both Apple and Google stores are starting to roll these out, and they told me they're real close. So would you commit to reaching out to them and seeing if they can transition this from a card size registration also to do the digital?
Mr. Chair.
I'm going to answer that for you. Yes, he will.
Thank you.
In fact, do we have anyone from the agency here? You want to come give us an update? Maybe walk us through what the future looks like in this arena?
Is it on? Okay. Apologize to the representative behind me that we haven't gotten a chance to speak with him about this yet, but there actually is some language on the Senate side of a fraud prevention bill that actually speaks to this, about adding through the mobile driver's license some capabilities for your insurance and registration information to be made available through the mobile driver's license. As you guys have seen us present in the past, we always had a slide that had our first day one of what we were going to do, and then there was always some gray boxes of potential use cases in the future, and so that would pretty much put that as our day two first on the gray side to tell us that we would like to get that information also made available through the mobile driver's license.
Good. So it sounds like this is something that we could see in the near future.
Yes, sir.
Kind of taking his concept and going digitally.
Yes, absolutely. We're figuring it out now.
Good. All right. Hey, well, thank you for just happen to be here. Oh, and I'm fortunately, because I asked you to come up, we're going to have to ask you to fill out an appearance card, if you don't mind. Oh, wait, we have more participation here on the committee. Representative Joseph.
You mentioned you haven't been able to speak to Representative McCurdy, and I'm just wondering why that was.
Yes, ma'am. Chair.
You're recognized.
So when the bill first was filed in the Senate, we called Senator Gibson's office and asked about the intent of the bill, which kind of subsequently led to that amendment that he just talked about to figure out what this was actually supposed to look like and trying to get the fee order and structure. So we did work with the bill sponsor on the Senate side initially, but when it came to us doing the digital side, we did our bill analysis and submitted it to staff and everybody, talking about the cost of what Representative McFarland was talking about of getting printers and stock paper to all the tax collector offices. But when it came to the idea of the digital aspect to it, it's not as if he hasn't reached out to us and us denied an ability to talk to him. We just haven't come forward with figuring out exactly if this would be something that's more preferable in his opinion. So we will absolutely have that conversation.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So just for the purpose of us on the committee here, it sounds like for the purpose of this committee stop, it's okay, and you're working out details for whatever comes after with him and Senator Gibson. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Seeing none, we appreciate your help today. Anyone from the audience wishing to speak? We have no cards. Debate on the bill. Representative from Fort Pierce, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Rep. McCurdy, for bringing this bill forward. And probably not for the most obvious reasons, which is convenience. I'm an old school girl. I'll probably still keep my registration in my glove box, but I'll spend the $250 to put one in my wallet too, just for convenience sake. But I think in this day and age of heightened anxiety, when someone's reaching in their glove box, everybody gets a little paranoid. So I'd much rather reach in my wallet under that situation. So thank you. I'll be up on the bill.
Anyone else in debate? Representative from Ocoee, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. McCurdy, Representative McCurdy, for bringing this great bill forward. As it has been mentioned previously by my colleague, I definitely will be supporting this bill, again, mainly because of just the easy access with getting to it, just due to, again, just the certain climates that we have, not only when she's talking about with reaching or the nervousness that comes when stops are being made, but also even just access to the technology piece. We have communities that are still trying to get broadband in them. And then even also our senior population. I think it's easier for them to have that paper, and I definitely see them really supporting it versus having this big, wide piece of paper, and just in case it get lost. We've seen within many of our communities also just how many times these cars are being broken in by young people. And so by having that on you, again, you lessen the risk of losing and having to reorder that registration. So thank you for bringing this great bill forward, and I'm happy to support it today.
Okay, any additional debate? Additional debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
And wave close. Ms. Young, please call the roll.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis? Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo? Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Chair.
Chair, the bill passes. Thank you, Representative McCurdy. All right, so you have, Representative McCurdy has another bill, House Bill 371, which is a linked bill to meet the constitutional requirements. Are there any questions on the 371 linked bill? Any questions for the Representative from Orlando? Seeing no questions, is there anyone here that wishes to speak? Seeing none, debate, no debate. You're recognized to close. Having waived close, Ms. Young, please call the roll on House Bill 371. Oh, boy, we got to, let me unwind everything I just did. Let's go back to 371. We do have an amendment by Representative McCurdy. Explain the amendment.
The amendment is a technical amendment, Mr. Chair.
Any questions on the technical amendment? If not, let's show that adopted without objection. So we're on the amended version of the bill. Are there any questions? Anyone wishing to speak? Any debate? You're recognized to close.
Wave.
Having waived close, Ms. Young, please call the roll.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Slossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
No, I don't.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo? Yes. Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Chair.
Show the bill passes. Thank you, Representative McCurdy. Okay, last on our agenda, we have House Bill 701 by Representative McFarland. Representative from Sarasota County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll take the privilege of presenting from my chair, if I may, as well.
Let's do that.
Members, many of us in the subcommittee are boaters with varying levels of formal training on how to be on the waterway safely. I myself have lived on or around boats for most of my adult life, and I didn't know this, but when a motorboat is operating with no one at the helm, the engine will stay on and tilt over to the side, and the boat will start to circle in what FWC calls the circle of death, and that boat will hit anyone and anything in its path until it runs out of gas. On November 21st, 2020, 10-year-old Ethan Isaacs died in a boating accident. He was out with his sailing club, and on that choppy day, as the sailing instructor leaned over the side of his powerboat to help one of the students, he slipped and fell overboard. And on his way over the side, his foot hit the throttle, and that powerboat began the spiral of death that physics tells it to do. If that instructor had known to wear a device called an engine safety cutoff switch, or if you've been on a jet ski, you probably call it a kill switch lanyard, that instructor had been wearing that device, the worst thing that would have happened on that day is a sailing instructor would have gone for a swim in Sarasota Bay. This bill will add to the curriculum of boater education, which is the course that anyone born after 1988 has to take in the state of Florida in order to operate a boat. It would add to that curriculum the importance of wearing this device whenever you're operating a powerboat underway. It also specifies that if you're an instructor of a water sport, just as sailing in Ethan's case, that you must wear a kill switch lanyard. And Mr. Chair, that is the bill. I do have an amendment that adds some clarifying language, but doesn't change the overall intent of the bill.
Let's present Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment clarifies that the water sport instructor, it's the person who's driving the safety boat, who must wear that kill switch device. And it would also call this section of Florida statute Ethan's Law to commemorate young Ethan Isaac. And that's the amendment.
Any questions on the designation? Question, Representative Cheney.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep. McFarland. Where do these, are these kill switches attached to their PFD? Are they, how do you get them? Where are they? How do you wear them? How do they work?
Is this on the amendment or the overall bill? Representative McFarland?
Bill.
Okay, hold that thought just for a second. Any questions on the amendment on the naming provision? No questions, no debate. Let's show that adopted without objection. Now we're on the bill as amended. So question, Representative from St. Pete Beach, having asked the question.
Same question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Cheney, there's a couple different technologies out there. The most standard is the little bracelet that you wear that attaches to the key. You probably actually, all of your boat keys will have that lanyard on it. Just no one really knows what to do with it. So you could do it that way. You could do a lanyard that you hook to your clothes or your PFD. There's even some great technology out there, like a Bluetooth-enabled device, where if you get wet, it would activate and cut your engine to zero. The boating community has known about this for quite a long time, and even very seasoned mariners use these devices. And so that's why there's been some evolution in the technology to the Bluetooth. So there's a lot of different devices out there.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you're recognized.
And so if you get pulled over in a routine check where they count your heads and they count your vests, are you going to have this device or you'll get ticketed?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not under Florida provision and not under this bill. However, I will point out that the U.S. Coast Guard last year made this a provision of their pullover. So if the Coast Guard pulls you over, there's a fine and fee schedule that starts at $250 and goes up to $500.
So there is a federal requirement?
That's right, Mr. Chair.
Additional questions? Representative from Palm Beach County, you're recognized.
Sorry, Chair, thank you for allowing me to ask another question. Representative McFarland, I agree totally with the concept. I have ridden on jet skis, and they do have that kill switch. Trouble is, my boat was made in 1981. It's a great 20-foot aqua sport. So there is going to be a cost to redo the ignition switch so that the key comes out or cuts off or does something. It's not just a simple, you do have to do something, right? You do have to change the ignition switch or something.
So I have reached out to the boat manufacturers. That was one of my initial concerns, is how many boats out there are ready to have this technology. And the boat manufacturers assure me that they have been manufacturing boats to the standard for many, many years. And I didn't specifically ask about your vintage of boat. As far as I understand it from the manufacturers, boats have this technology inherently built into the manufacturing. So maybe we just need to help you uncorrode that safety link.
Any questions, additional questions? Seeing none, we do have someone here that may can further that conversation. David Childs with the National Marine Manufacturers Association. There seems to be some interest in speaking with an expert in this field, so we welcome you being here. Any questions for Mr. Childs? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, to repeat the question, are you going to have to make some change to the ignition switch?
Well, and again, David Childs, National Marine Manufacturers Association, prepare to be disappointed. I don't know the answer to your specific question for your specific vintage, but what I can commit to you is before this committee, before this bill gets heard again, that we can get you that information. It is true that for many years, the vessels have been constructed to where such devices are able to be connected. I can't speak to the specific 1983 vessel that you're referencing, but we can absolutely get you that information and provide it to the sponsor as well, so that you'll have that on a go-forward basis.
Anything else for Mr. Childs? Nope. Waving in support. Bonnie Basham, representing the boat owners of the United States. Ms. Basham, thank you for being here. You're recognized.
Thank you. Bonnie Basham representing Boat U.S. We absolutely very strongly support this bill. We believe it will save lives. And I look forward to the time when it's mandatory. But right now, we'll take what we can get. Thank you so much. I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Ms. Basham. Any questions? Thank you. Okay, last we have Greg and Mindy Isaacs. From Sarasota, Ms. Isaacs, Mr. Isaacs, thank you for being here. You're recognized.
Thank you. I want you to imagine dropping your child off at sailing practice and you never get to bring him home. Over the next week, you're planning his funeral, signing his death certificate, and thanking his best friends for loving him. And you attempt to fill in the void for your older son who doesn't understand how this could happen. Ethan's death was 100% preventable. We trusted his instructor would keep him safe. It was as simple as an instructor clipping into the engine cutoff switch already installed on his boat. We ask you to support this bill, as Ethan would say, it just makes sense.
Florida has an abundance of shorelines and water sport activities for the people of Florida and visitors to the state. When we first decided to move to Florida, Tanner and Ethan were excited to explore sailing. They were fascinated with pirates at the time, so that was a lot of their interest. Despite what happened to Ethan, we really feel that water sport activities is a great part of Florida. It can be a great activity. It's got a lot to offer the residents. This bill is a simple, no-cost solution to this issue. And it doesn't cause any, it doesn't hinder the water sport activities in any way. And I want you to think about how many children will get to go home with their parents when you make your decision on your vote today. Thank you.
Mr. and Ms. Isaacs, what you're doing is very good, it's very noble, and it's going to make a difference in other people's lives. I know it's very difficult to be here under these circumstances, but we do recognize your passion and what you're doing and what your goals are, and you're to be commended. It's very honorable for you all to have this desire and this passion to put this into Florida statutes, and so that it would be of a benefit to our state and the people that live here and the people that visit here. And I also want you to know that your representative McFarland, is very passionate about this issue and has worked diligently with myself and staff and others to make this come to fruition. So I commend her for taking up your cause and for working with you and for sharing that passion and that love and wanting to make a tangible difference in putting this into statute and making this the law of the land in Florida. So thank you both for what you're doing and for being here today and for your vision for other Floridians. And God bless you, and we pray for you, and we thank you for everything that you've done thus far.
Thank you.
With that, are there any, yes, Representative from Boca Raton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to echo what Chair Drake has said to Mr. and Mrs. Isaac. It's what we do after a tragedy that determines whether it remains just a tragedy. I just want to say thank you so much for coming here and sharing your experience with the committee. And hopefully this bill, Ethan's Law, will save lives. Thank you. And thank you, Representative McFarland, for bringing this bill.
Are there any questions on the amended version of the bill? See no questions. Additional debate? Is there a debate? Representative from Miami-Dade County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative McFarland, for bringing this forward. I want to just take this opportunity to speak to the family. In this life, there will be challenges. What matters is how we respond to those challenges. And the chair has already talked about it, and so has our ranking member. But I really just wanted to reiterate just how much we commend you for taking this tragedy and bringing something positive out of it. I don't think anybody else on the committee needs to hear any more really, you know, convincing, because as you would say, as Ethan would say, it just makes sense. So I just want to take this opportunity to lift up your family and Tanner in particular, because that's a loss that you're all going to grapple with, but it's going to hit him a little bit different. And just say that don't let it stop with just this one bill. I know and already see that you will have more opportunities to take his legacy beyond just this bill. And I just encourage you, when you get that inkling, to not shy away from it. And thank you for being here today. Thank you.
Well said, Ms. Representative Joseph. Any additional debate? Representative from Sarasota County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a kid, I grew up on Sarasota Bay on a 16-foot skiff, and now it is one of the most difficult bays in the state to navigate. And now as a father, I can't imagine, you know, what you guys are going through. Our entire community grieves with you. So thank you for pushing for this. And I would argue, especially on a small skiff, it's even more important to be wearing this kill switch than even on a jet ski, because oftentimes folks are not wearing a life vest. And so I want to thank Representative McFarland for bringing forward this bill, and thank you for continuing to advocate for Ethan.
Well said, Representative Buchanan. Additional debate. Representative from Boca Raton, Representative Skidmore, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a boater, I think I've been in situations that I know could have gone south really quickly, and the slightest, smallest thing that we can do to prevent any kind of tragedy is well worth it. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Representative Skidmore. Additional debate. Representative from Sarasota, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Florida regularly ranks as a top state in the number of boating accidents per year. FWC shared with me that in the past 5 years, there were over 95 reported man overboard incidences, and I can assure you that I don't think any 95 of those people expected to fall overboard when they went out on the water that day. 79% of those cases involve someone being hurt or killed. And as I mentioned in some of the questioning, even the seasoned fishermen, the bass fishermen out in Florida, the grizzled old fishermen who have been wearing these lanyards for years, and I'm sure they never expect to fall overboard either, and because they know that just sometimes things happen when you're out there. This bill will back up what those bass fishermen know, and it'll back up what the Coast Guard will fine you for by providing some education, some upfront investment, a level of knowledge for people when they embark on the water. The Isaacs family reached out to me so shortly after Ethan's death, and it was not long after, as a freshman member, I was sworn in for the first time. And their partnership on this bill, as we talked to the various stakeholders, and their ability to turn their grief into action has been inspiring to me. And it's been 18 months now, and during those 18 months, I've become a parent myself, and I'm just so inspired by them. So members, with your support today, and as this bill continues to move forward, we can not only make our Florida waterways safer, but we can help honor Ethan's memory. So thank you for your support of this bill.
Thank you, Representative McFarland. Ms. Young, please call the roll.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Schlossberg King?
Yes.
Representatives Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson? Yarbrough?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
So the bill passes. Thank you, Representative McFarland. Members of the committee, with no further business on this schedule, Vice Chair LaMarca moves that we rise. Let's show that done without objection. Yeah.